Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. I'm Vanessa Denha here. We're talking about spina bifida this morning with Adele DiOrio. There is a bill, HB 5098, and we want to talk to Adele about this bill and what does it mean to the Spina Bifida Association and why are they sponsoring it. Adele, thanks for joining us here on It's Your Community.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
First, before we get into that, explain to our listeners this morning who may not understand, what is spina bifida?
So spina bifida is the most common permanently disabling birth defect in the United States. Spina bifida literally means split spine, and it happens when the baby is in the womb and the spinal column doesn't close all the way.
Mm.
Spina bifida generally affects each person differently, but they actually call it the snowflake condition. In general, it can, but doesn't always affect people's mobility, so that's how they walk and get around, bladder, bowel, and gastrointestinal health and disorders, and latex allergies, but it can also include things like skin breakdown, learning disabilities, social issues, tendonitis, and a lot of other different associated conditions. It's a very difficult condition to say, I know one person, so I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complicated, variable, multifactorial disability.
So it's not like a one-size-fits-all. You have it, and everybody has the same issues and the same symptoms.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. I actually know people with spina bifida from age of infant up to adulthood who have varying levels of mobility, varying levels of activity in their community,
mm-hmm.
everything from wheelchair users to using no supports whatsoever to, like my son, who uses AFOs, ankle-foot orthotics, and prescription shoes, but he walks without the support of a walker now.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is that recent years he's able to do that, or is that ever since he's been able to walk? Has it gotten progressively better?
He actually didn't learn how to walk until he was about 2.5.
Okay.
So he's been walking a very recent time in his life.
Okay.
But we have a lot of hope for what his next will look like. That's the interesting thing about these people. First of all, they're amazing people like anyone else you might meet. But what does the next step look like is a variable, changing piece of their lives. And as a parent, like myself, very much a changing piece of my own life.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. We've got involved with spina bifida because of relatives of ours. And Lisa Azu has been on the show before with her daughter, Sophia. And we've written about her in the Chaldean News. And so we've become really familiar with it. And I'm so impressed with the work that the Spina Bifida Association is doing in Michigan to help the cause and education. And I know, as I said before, as we started the show, there's a bill, 5098. So what is that, and what does that mean to spina bifida?
So as the mother of a child with spina bifida, myself, and as an active member of the spina bifida community, this bill has so much to applaud. It's pro-information and focus. It's nonpartisan. It's arming families and their care teams with ready access to information during a very critical decision-making period in their lives. Specifically, if a child receives the prenatal or postnatal diagnosis of spina bifida, so the family finds out my baby has spina bifida,
mm-hmm.
the parents would receive the following information provided through a website from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, also known as DHHS. So they would get up-to-date, evidence-based, written information about spina bifida that's been reviewed by medical experts and spina bifida organizations. And that information would include physical development, educational and psychological outcomes, life expectancy, clinical courses, intellectual and functional development, and treatment options
mm-hmm.
that might apply to their child.
Mm-hmm.
And since we haven't met this person yet, these are a whole bunch of mites, but this is based on research and based on real data. And the idea that it needs to be printed and handed to these families is really important because in that moment when you receive that diagnosis, you're kind of on overload. So
mm-hmm.
being able to go back and refer to this piece of paper later and absorb it over a couple of days basis is a really important part of the bill.
Well, what was happening prior? I mean, what led to the need of this bill, Adele?
Well, it was a very interesting thing, and I have to return to my own experience to be able to explain how I understood this to be. So when I received the diagnosis for my son at his anatomy scan at 19 weeks, I received it from a doctor who was already following the guidelines that are set in place and would be required under the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And for about a year, I thought that's how everyone received that information. What I found after the fact is that a lot of families received no information or received false or outdated information, and these people came to me. I have one of those recognizable names, and I'm connected to the Spina Bifida Association of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And in a completely different stroke, my son won the Spina Bifida Association of America Beyond Limits Spina Bifida Awareness Campaign last year.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
So he got cuteness points, and I got a little bit... a little bit more accessible to people. They just said, hey, there's this lady. I want to contact her.
Uh-huh.
So people contacted me through baby center groups, through Facebook, by phone. And in the absence of this information, what a lot of families were doing to find out about spina bifida is they were Googling it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know that organizations or resources existed. My advice to the newly diagnosed is don't Google it, because what you find are medical diagrams and photos of myelomeningocele. That's that thing that it, mm-hmm. it comes out the baby's back, that open, not closed spine, the spinal cord, the nerves,
mm-hmm.
and not repaired yet, which is a very scary thing, especially if you've never seen that and you're learning this about your own child.
Mm-hmm.
So this fluid-filled sac on the back before closure, or images of uncontrolled hydrocephalus without the benefit mm-hmm. of medical advancements that are available readily in our country. In addition, family who did not receive adequate information about their diagnosis of spina bifida sometimes made decisions based on the information that they had, up to and including termination. And let me be clear, the bill is not pro or anti-termination. It's not a pro-life or a pro-choice bill. But making any medical decision based on outdated or incomplete information is really hard to defend.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, these families couldn't attempt to hold these care providers accountable for this lack of information. Because really, what would it do? They can't go back in time and choose a different option. They can't go back to a point where fetal surgery, for instance, was available. No amount of monetary award would undo the damages or lack of information. So the only solution that would really fix this is to make this information available to every family when they get their diagnosis in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to guarantee that is to make sure it comes through the person who delivers that diagnosis. So thank goodness a lot of people did turn to Facebook, and there are some excellent support groups on Facebook for people living with spina bifida and parents who have kids with spina bifida.
Mm-hmm.
And that connected us. So when these stories came in over and over and over through myself and through other members of the Advisory Council for the Spina Bifida Association of Michigan, including some of the members ourselves, that this information was incomplete in some cases, missing in some cases, we decided we had to try something. And last March, Colleen Payne, who was the executive director of the Spina Bifida Association of Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
was working with their legislature and passed a bill there that required very similar provisions to the families of Kentucky who received this diagnosis. And in that moment, I said, we need this. We need this for the community in Michigan. We need this for the however many families that are not getting information. And for the families like my own who did receive the information we needed, the only thing it really asks the person to do is hit print. So
mm-hmm.
everything else in their practice, nothing would change. So it's not a major overstep into the practices for the folks who are already doing it well.
You know, and that's one of the things when I first became aware of the bill, Adele DiOrio, Chair of Education and Advocacy for the Spina Bifida Association of Michigan, is that it was all about information and education.
Correct.
And I think anytime you make any kind of medical decision, and we're not going to get into politics here, but any kind of medical decision that you make for you and your child, you should have all the information at hand before you make the decision.
And in the case of spina bifida, it's even more complicated. Because unlike some diagnoses where the choices could happen for treatment before birth, after birth, you've got a pretty large window concerning what you need to choose for your child for your birth plan.
Mm-hmm.
For a child with spina bifida, the window between 19 weeks and 26 weeks is absolutely critical. One of the options, and really there are four options if you think about it. Termination is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is closure of the back after the baby is born. One of them is whichever option you choose plus medical adoption. Some people choose to have the baby and then a family adopts the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth one, which is relatively new and has only been established as the standard of care in 2013, is fetal surgery. So at 23 weeks and 4 days, through my womb and to my son, they closed his back and then he was born 89 days later.
Mm.
But for that to be possible as an option, and not all families are candidates, but to even discuss that as an option, that has to have taken place within that window of 19 weeks to 26 weeks, which is remarkably short when you think of all of the factors that go into it, between the screening, sometimes relocation of your family, establishment of support systems. All of those things need to have happened already before you end that window. And most people don't have their anatomy scan until 18 to 21 weeks.
So, Adele, typically spina bifida is diagnosed in utero.
I can't say typically.
Oh.
For the families who follow the traditional medicine route and have an anatomy scan, yes.
Okay.
But there are other families who don't do fetal screening or who use the services of a midwife, and they don't necessarily have that route.
Okay.
So they would be diagnosed as the baby is born.
Okay. And so, but there are obviously benefits, such as in your case, to be diagnosed in utero if you are a candidate for that particular surgery of closing the back while the baby is still in womb.
Correct. Because in Justin's case, that's my son's name, Justin, in his case, when we closed his back at 23 weeks and 4 days, his spinal cord was no longer being exposed to the acidic environment of the amniotic fluid for those last 3 months. So it stops the damage. There is already some damage done to his nervous system.
Okay.
But we saved him 3 months of damage by choosing this route for him. There are risks.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There are risks, including preterm labor.
Mm-hmm.
There are risks to the mother and damage to your uterus.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that we weighed with our team. Mm-hmm. There are a few people who go through this evaluation and choose against that option, but the bill really looks for get the information into the hands of the team and the parents so that they can make the right decision for that family.
Okay, this may be a really silly question, but I can't imagine anybody fighting you on this bill. I mean, who it would be against giving proper information?
I can't imagine it either. I know that in Kentucky it passed to bipartisan unanimous support. So what I'm hoping is that we'll have the same support in Michigan, because if every family got the same diagnosis information that I had on what I still consider to be one of the worst days of my life, even with that information, we would all be more well-armed to be able to make the decision that would be best for our family.
I know what Lisa, and I mentioned Lisa Azu, what Lisa explained to me is that most of the time, not most of the time, but many of the cases that she knows, parents were giving like statistics from old textbooks that were like 20 years outdated.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or were given only the worst case scenario, so they never had an opportunity because they weren't given contact information for associations or organizations. They never talked to people who actually have spina bifida or have family members with spina bifida.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of one family that I went to visit at Mott Children's Hospital, the first person they had ever met with spina bifida was my son.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually came out of this mom's mouth was, he's just a kid. You're right, he is just a kid. And he has a different ball of wax than another kid. And there are things that we deal with that other families don't. But he is just a kid. Mm-hmm. He's Justin first. He has spina bifida second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a really good point, Adele DiOrio, who we're talking to this morning. And, you know, and what's fairly new, too, what people may not realize is that the Spina Bifida Association Michigan chapter is pretty new as well.
Yes, and remarkably active. We just actually recruited two more people to our advisory council. Last year, we did awareness activities in October. We had a very successful walk and roll last June.
Mm-hmm.
And in great news, we've also had the awareness support of some of our state leaders in the recent past as well. During Awareness Month last year, which is October, the Lieutenant Governor, Brian Kelly, he shared awareness posts that we had posted and even changed the banners on his social media to raise awareness for spina bifida.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And Governor Rick Snyder proclaimed October Spina Bifida Awareness Month in Michigan just last October as well. Which
good for you guys.
Our awareness month.
That's awesome. Well, we'll bring you back on during October to talk about that.
That would be excellent. I'd be glad to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we've been meeting extensively with the bill sponsor, Representative Hank Papel of Livingston County, and the chair of the House Committee on Health Policy, Representative Mike Calton. And both of them have been instrumental, and we appreciate their efforts greatly.
You know, for people listening this morning, we're talking with Adele DiOrio from the Spina Bifida Association Michigan chapter. Where is the process of the bill? So take us through the steps. Where are we? What do we expect in the next few months? Like, how does this work?
Okay, so right now the bill is in the Health Policy Committee, and right now they're discussing it. So every once in a while it will show up on the agenda. And our role as the Spina Bifida Association of Michigan, we've been sending representatives to speak about the bill and what it would entail, just like what I'm doing with you today. And then, of course, there are other members of the community coming to those committee meetings and registering their card of support or their card of opposition and sharing their viewpoints so that the committee understands what the community really thinks about it. It bears mentioning that since DHHS, or they are going to be hosting that information on their website, on March 15th, Lorna Elliott Egan from DHHS submitted a testimony card in support of the bill, and since the responsibility would fall to DHHS, their support of this bill is critical. In addition, Lena Corsell, who is the spina bifida clinic coordinator at Sparrow, spoke in support of the bill just a week later.
Wow. So you're picking up some major momentum.
Yes. Yeah, we are. And some really dynamic parents from the spina bifida community and adult members of the spina bifida community have submitted their support and testified on behalf of the bill. And Colleen Payne, the former executive director of Spina Bifida Association of Kentucky, who was so instrumental in the passing of their bill, mm-hmm. submitted her letter of support, which is also on the health committee's website.
And so if it actually becomes a law, where do you expect that to be, in a year, 2 years? I mean, what's the projection?
Well, they need to act within this calendar year.
Okay.
Right now it is in the committee. They've already had two hearings on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the pacing of that really is up to the chair of the committee and whether or not he thinks it's ready. If they vote on it, then it goes to the floor, and then we go through another series of events there and wait for the progress to pass.
Okay.
Really the best way for people to follow the progress,
yes.
we set up a short link to the bill. It's bit.do, so bit.do/HB 5098.
Okay. So bit.do/HB 5098.
Yep, and the H and the B are both capital.
Okay.
Yep.
In terms of, so let's say, Adele, it becomes a law. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine anybody fighting it, but let's say it becomes a law. How does it work now? How is it informed to all the doctors? Because really, at the end of the day, the doctors need to understand that they're now legally obligated to provide this information.
Correct. And a lot of those organizations have bulletins that go to them regularly about legislative updates.
Okay.
And on the health committee's page on the State of Michigan website, you can subscribe to those changes and subscribe to updates so you know which bill is pending. So if families want to keep up to date with this, you can register with your email address. And many of the associations that support our medical professionals do the same thing.
Okay.
Really, from my point of view, since this information is specifically to support our medical care professionals, which, trust me, as a mom of a kiddo with spina bifida, we rely on them quite heavily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his health is a managed care
you're dependent on the medical system to manage his care, unlike another child who probably just goes for annual checkups.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And we have many professionals who serve him, but really the professionals that this directly impacts are the people who render the prenatal care, postnatal care, genetic counseling, anyone who renders that diagnosis and delivers it to the family. So that helps us hone our focus of who needs this access.
Mm-hmm.
But the other brilliant part of this, and this is actually an update since the beginning, the first draft of this bill, is that instead of making this thing a printed piece of paper that as soon as you set it on a shelf, it's out of date, we're doing a service to our medical professionals by working with DHHS and the Spina Bifida Association of America to make sure that this paper is current.
Mm.
So instead of having, okay, we only have around 47 babies born in Michigan every year with spina bifida. So for those 47 families grabbing a paper off the shelf that's already 20 years out of date, mm-hmm. we just go to the DHHS website and hit print.
Oh, so it'll constantly stay updated.
Correct.
Hmm.
And they don't have exorbitant printing costs. I mean,
yeah.
Makes sense. Hit go.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because you mentioned how you were one of the few that was given information that most parents you met were not given that. Why do you think that was? Was it your doctor just more informed? Or, I mean, what was it that compelled you to get this information or compelled the person to give you this information that other doctors were not giving?
Well, I think part of it is exposure. If you're in an area that would be able to support a large OB's office that might have a maternal fetal medicine specialist there,
mm-hmm.
they're going to see more people. So of those 47 babies born in Michigan with spina bifida each year, that practice might see two or three,
mm-hmm.
where some practices have never met a person with spina bifida, much less given care to a mom who is carrying a baby with spina mm-hmm. bifida. So that's part of it. Part of it is also, just like any profession, there are people who make it their business to stay abreast of current research. There are journals that are very helpful if you read them. And my doctor was a very high-quality doctor, very current on the research. And when we had the fetal surgery, she willingly said, you go home and research, I'll go home and research. We'll meet back here in the morning. We'll decide what's best for you and your family. And I thought that everyone was getting that. But we ran a survey and put it out in our private groups in Michigan, those social groups that are closed settings on the Facebook and,
yeah.
and Baby Center, those sorts mm-hmm. of networks. And the overwhelming input, and this was self-reporting, so it might have just been the people reporting who had bad experiences.
Yeah.
But the fact that we only made the survey for the last 10 years and we had multiple examples of people who were given words like vegetable,
oh.
worst case scenario, no quality of life, termination is the only humane thing to do. For me, I look at my son and I say, but he's just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So for that information to be given even to one family without the balance of here's what the rest of the community looks like, are there families who struggle with that worst case scenario? Of course there are.
Mm.
But it's not just families with spina bifida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, having balanced information about mm-hmm. what is a very severe situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a small, mild disability for some people. It's a very significant change in what you thought your life would be with your child.
Mm-hmm.
But including the fact that here are these people, contact this association. Like last weekend, we had, weekend before last, we had more than 100 people from the spina bifida community in Michigan go to a Tigers game.
Oh.
That's quality of life.
Yeah.
That's engaging in our community and participating. And
well, just even the fundraisers you do, the rock and roll and the bowl and roll. I mean, I've done a couple of them, and that is part of your quality of life.
Of course.
That is part of your
entertainment. Like it is for anyone who's engaged in any social organization, like mm-hmm. a church or scouts or clubs or mm-hmm. Kiwanis. So those sorts of things, when I first received the diagnosis for my son, even with the best case scenario and a doctor who included prognoses and got me in touch with the hospital who did my fetal surgery, it wasn't available in Michigan at that point. It is now. It's
mm-hmm.
available here.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't need to leave the state.
Mm-hmm.
And with that level of support, I still had no idea that someday I'd be bringing him to Comerica Park so he could go around the bases.
Mm-hmm.
I all you do is worry when you don't know. So getting people in touch with people is such a critical part of this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the pieces of the bill is providing them contact information regarding support programs and services, such as the Spina Bifida Association of Michigan. There's the Western Michigan Spina Bifida Organization,
mm-hmm.
connecting people to people, just like any walk of life, that networking is so important.
Mm-hmm. What's been the reaction by the parents of the association and people that you know since you guys started with this bill, got it introduced, and have been progressing as you have with the bill?
Oh, they actually issued a press release in support of it
mm-hmm.
and applauding both Representative Vapel and the Michigan chapter for collaborating with them. If this becomes the standard of what is provided to parents, it's already happening in Kentucky. We know that providing them this accurate information is the right thing to do. This could change the tide for states all over the union.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right, and it should be actually a federal law. So, but let's one step at a time, right, Adele? We're talking with Adele DiOrio from the Spina Bifida Association of Michigan about a recent bill and spina bifida in itself and what is it and what does it mean to families whose children who have children with spina bifida. Adele, before we let you go, about a minute and a half here left on It's Your Community. Any last messages for people listening about, you know, the association, what you're doing in this bill?
Well, for starters, for the obstetricians and maternal fetal medicine specialists who already provide all the information included in the bill, thank you. Essentially, we've used you as the standard to build what we need from all of the providers that do the same jobs. For the longest time, I thought it was the norm, which reaffirms my belief that it needs to be the norm. So for those people and for the folks who were digging and trying to find resources for these families and provided everything they could find, we thank you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And to please know that this bill is in support of our medical community, in support of our care teams. It is a partnership that we want to enter in with the Spina Bifida Association, DHHS, and our care teams to improve the quality of life for all people in our state with spina bifida and their families.
Adele, thank you so much for joining us here on It's Your Community.
Thank you so much for having me. It was absolutely my pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure. And it's a great cause, a great initiative, and we wish you guys the best. You want to give out a website to find out what your events are coming up or anything like that?
Absolutely. That would be great. So we have a couple of events coming up. There is the Walk and Roll, which is on September the 24th in Waterford Oaks Park. And you can check that out and some other future events coming up at www.sbaofmi.org. That's sbaofmi.org, and just click on events at the top.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or comments or show topics you want us to get to me, Vanessa Denha, by going to info@denhamedia.com. That's DENHA media.com. Reminding all of our listeners to connect, collaborate, and communicate with your community, and we will connect with you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone.
It's your community.